welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith here on A Chat in the Garden with Significance Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Hey, we are now in February. You can't tell me time is flying. It really is. And I am really proud to be a gold sponsor of Hilliard Solutions' 5th Annual Virtual Women in Athletic Development Symposium and Networking, April 12th and the 13th. Tickets go on sale February the 6th, and you all know what February the 6th is. So if you don't, you need to go look that up. If you are in sports, February the 6th is a special date as it relates to women, girls in sports. So I see why she's chosen that day to start. So, but if you want to get a heads up or you are concerned you may forget all about it, go ahead and sign up at Hilliard Solutions, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D-S, solutions.com/symposium to get in the know. So you'll get an email when they go on sale. And the beautiful thing, again, it is virtual. And so you don't have any excuse to say you can't attend, okay? So, again, April 12th and 13th, February 6th is when the tickets go on sale. This is her fifth one, and it's an excellent program, and I am proud to be a sponsor. Do you have your copy of the latest Significance in Athletics and Sports Business? If you don't, you know, we have 4 issues live right now, Amazon. You need to get your copy. I was sharing about our success of Significance in Athletics and Sports to someone last night, actually. And I was sharing about our reception every year that we have at NACTA and how the contributors of the magazines were in attendance. And I had a big blow-up of their pages. And I was like, oh, yeah, this person now is athletic director. Oh, yes, this person's now athletic director. This person's now athletic director. So when they were in the magazines, they were not director of athletics, but after which they were. And so why do I share that? It's because you invest to being a magazine to elevate your profile, to share your expert knowledge. And it's twofold. It builds your confidence up for when you go for the interview. And it begins to spread your name around. And I do believe that search firms utilize a magazine and some such, because I think it was three to two women that were asked by a search firm to interview for a position. And one was a high school athletic director, and one was an assistant athletic director. And so I was pretty proud of that. And this is why we have created this, to elevate your profile, to shape your expert marketing so that your expertise will be known out there, so that you can go ahead and explain how you're the answer to the problem that the institution is trying to serve by hiring rock stars. So if this is you, I have 4 spots left for the 6th issue. The 5th issue right now is in production. I just saw the first 3 pages, and I'm so excited. I have the most wonderful designer. And so let's just be clear, the investment doesn't go to me. The investment goes to the designer who's doing all the work, okay? And so, but I'm excited to be able to bridge the gap to assist you with that. So when you sign up, and we do have a 4-payment option, When you sign up, I will send you a link to my calendar so we can have an expert marketing session. So we can help you create some type of framework, because beyond helping you get that position, it also positions you in a consultant role, because you've already solved a problem at your institution, at your organization, and how do you duplicate that? And so people can't necessarily do what you do, but you can share the steps that you took, and that becomes your intellectual property because it's in your head. So if this is something that you would like to take a part in, please email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. Take a part of that. If you want to get the pre-sale, when my first batch goes out, you need to go to www.payhip.com/CaesarEmpowerment. Again, payhip.com/CaesarEmpowerment. And this issue features on the cover my mentor, Alfreda Goff. So you definitely want to get in the mix of that. CUAL Foundation offers media training for student athletes with name, image, and likeness on deck. This is so important. Candy Waller is the founder, also CUAL Sports Entertainment, and she interviews the top dogs on the professional side. So she's got great experience because this is what she does every weekend. So she really is branching out and preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, go to info@cwallfoundation.org, info@cwallfoundation.org. And one of my longtime, one of my first actually, and longtime sponsor is Tawana Smith, and she's the author of two books, and but the one that I like to promote here is one that the NFL purchased for the Celebration Bowl in 2019. And this is before name, image, and likeness, but it really does help to get in the conversation with your student athletes how to select their team. And when I say team, that financial team, their support staff. And now why this is important is that our student athletes who take advantage of the name, image, and likeness are now in a position such as a professional of how to deal with their money. So the key is you want to, they may not know, and I know they don't know, because I got student athletes that work for me, not student athletes, but just students, period. And they work tournaments for me. And I said, come pick up your 1099. And they had no idea what that was. And so, yeah, they're not learning that. So we got to be able to prepare them that even though you get this money, you got to pay taxes on it. And how do you prepare? How do you protect yourself so you won't had to pay more taxes, because you know they didn't keep the money. As soon as they got the money, they spent the money. So what's the protectiveness of it? And so how did I learn about this? Surviving the Likes, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And the curse is making money and losing money before you get a chance to really realize you got money. And so, again, Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith is the resource I'm speaking of. And it's on Amazon in three different formats, paperback, audio, and ebook. Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center, Policy to Practice. The center has the following. opportunities to receive training, first responder training. And as we saw on Monday Night Football, this can save a life. And you need to have it in practice, not just on a piece of paper, what's supposed to happen. And are your people ready for that? And not just the people who are doing the first responding piece, but, you know, again, the second part, crowd control, a sport event staff certification. Those are the people that wear the yellow jackets and direct the crowd, and you hope to have their back to the game and looking at the crowd. So you are still responsible even if you hire a contractor out. Even if you use another facility, you rent the facility, you need to make sure they are trained in your policy procedures. Because professional games are different from college games. Your fans are different. You really, really need to look at it. And I would say you look closely at this month at how you are ingressing when it comes to when the buzzer hits. Because these rivalry games, if you haven't trained your staff how to elect your young people be in excitement mode, you have a problem. Because let's just be clear, our kids are different today. And if a person, an authority figure, doesn't handle it well, you're going to have another problem. I'm seeing it over and over again. They have got to be trained in how to de-escalate issues. And this also goes for your security staff. I have to be very honest with you, because if they don't have cultural competencies, you're going to have a problem. So how am I so aware? Alva and I talk about these things all the time. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Do you have a training on this? Getting bad out here. And so we have got to be proactive. And this is a resource I'm giving you, because she does offer a free assessment for you able to pinpoint what areas you need to concentrate on. And I will say most of your government entities offer grants for you to pay for such things. So let's get on the good foot. She also offers sport and event staff certification and workspace safety and personal training operations. Great resource, who has been in the trenches, was an athletic director for 14 years on the high school level. So to go get your information about how you can get this free assessment, go to www.vigilancestc.com. VigilanceStC.com. Again, www.vigilanceStC.com. So the time has come to meet our guest of the hour, Christian Fuller. She has got a lot of plates up in the air, but the one that I want to highlight for your listening is a board member of the Black Sports Professionals. And I wanted to bring her to the table because they're doing some great things as a board member. She's a part of that leadership. So welcome to the garden, Ms. Fuller.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Did you hear your cheers?
I did hear the cheers.
Yay. Yay. So So glad to be talking to you once again. We met in person back in September, and we had a good time hanging out with the convention members of the Parks and Rec people. And I'm so glad that you found value as a listener that you want to meet in person. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you for even just taking the time to meet with me. I appreciate that. So, you know, it was an honor to meet you as well.
Well, let everybody else know about your journey from college to now.
Absolutely. Okay, where do I start? So I am originally from Detroit, Michigan, born and raised. I did my undergrad at Michigan State University, so I am a Spartan, so go green. And upon graduation from there, actually, let me take a step back. I majored in criminal justice and advertising, which are totally unrelated. So I get that all time. Like, but the funny thing is, after graduation, my very first job was at Crime Stoppers in Michigan, and I was a PR coordinator, believe it or not. So what are the odds of criminal justice and advertising coming together? So I worked there for a little bit, and after that I actually headed out west to Phoenix, Arizona, which is where I currently reside. I've been out here since 2012, and everyone always asks, what made you move? And simply put, it was the weather. So I've been out here. I spent a little bit of time at Clear Channel Outdoor. And then I ended up getting an internship with NBC Universal, and that's where I currently work now. So that's kind of been my journey a little bit. As far as at BSP, I recently joined them last year, and we definitely have a lot going on in that space.
Well, let me back up just a slight bit. So after Michigan State, where did you go?
I came out to Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. Okay. I thought you had a law background.
I do. So law school came in while I was out in Phoenix. So I attended Loyola University Chicago School of Law. They have a part-time program, which they call the weekend JD program. So I was accepted into the weekend program, and that translated to me living full-time in Phoenix, working in Phoenix, and traveling to Chicago every other weekend for classes. So I would travel to Chicago. I would be in class all day Saturday, all day Sunday, fly back to Phoenix, as if nothing happened. And so it's a four-year program, and I actually graduated May of 2022, so last year. I actually just recently graduated from law school.
You see, you're about to let that pass by.
You know what? You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. I almost skipped over that part, but yes, that's a big part that I almost accidentally skipped over.
Yeah, I was like, no. So we talked about that a lot at dinner, okay?
Because
I just want to pause there just for a second, because we didn't necessarily say, you talked about your desire to be in the representation area. And you said, you know, that's really why you're doing contracts a little bit. And I say all the time, my students in my class, like the very first day of class, when I ask, what do you want to do in this business? I want to be an agent. And I am so ecstatic. Because yesterday I said, y'all, I know what team I'm going for the Super Bowl. And you know why? Mm-hmm. Because the quarterback that has a black woman as his sports agent, I am down with them. Isn't that
yes.
so exciting?
It really is. And actually, I've been following her for quite some time. So, yes, it's a very, very exciting time. And I think that I know I'm really looking forward to watching the game. Even though I'm not, you know, really a big fan of either team, but just the
Me either.
Historic, yeah, the historic kind of symbolism behind what's going on, I'm rooting for. And so that makes me excited to really tune in and watch the game.
I am over the top. I mean, actually, I'm trying to contain myself because my husband's a 49er, so I'm just trying to, like, you know, play it low-key until that time passes where he doesn't feel the pain. But, yes, I am over the top. Oh, my gosh. And I did read her book, so I'm just really excited about what this says for the industry. And interesting enough, I'm flying to Phoenix on Monday. I'm going to the Power Brunch, Women's Power Brunch on Tuesday, and flying back to Virginia on Wednesday. But the reason why I'm affiliated with that event was because the first time I went, which was prior to the pandemic, so I guess it was 2019, and Nicole Lynn was being recognized at this luncheon, and I said, I must meet this person. So that's the first, I mean, the program hadn't even started yet, girl. I walk in, and I'm like, I'm focused, and I go like, I must meet you. Because one of my students in my class, she says, I want to know her. Again, this is 2019. This is before mm-hmm. she gets mentioned in the TV show All American. You know what I'm saying? It's before mm-hmm. her Twitter really blows up. And so you do have a great role model. I have no desire to be an agent, but I do have students ask me, do you know an agent? Especially my football players that just came out. And I just go like, ooh, I really don't. So what are your thoughts on, because what you just did was brave, how you flew in and out, had a weekend. I mean, I just told a kid today, I said, so you do know, you know, you got to go back to school for that, right? But what are your thoughts about those who desire to be a sport agent? Because you're on that path, and how do you keep apparently you got your foot in sports. That's why I think these organizations are really key. So let's talk about what you were trying to forget about.
Yeah, so I'll kind of start with just what I have to kind of say, just generally speaking. For me, I knew I wanted to go to law school. However, I didn't quite know my purpose at the time. I knew I wanted to go. I always have been intrigued with the law, but I wasn't one of those students that kind of went into law school like, I know I want to work in criminal law or sports law. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went in. It was a whole game changer as far as the way you think, the way you view life, you view things. It was very life-changing for me. And I'm also a first-generation law student, so it was a lot of adjustment mentally, spiritually, a lot. So going through law school, there were challenges, but one of the biggest challenges that I faced was, what do you want to practice? And so when you're in law school, that's like a huge question people always ask you. Oh, you're in law school. That's so exciting. What do you want to do? What do you want to practice? And it puts so much pressure on you, at least it did for me, because I wasn't that student. I just went in knowing what she wanted to practice. And so I really had to spend some time doing some internal self-reflecting on what do you want to do? What is your purpose? What motivates you? What excites you? Because one thing that I found from interviewing and meeting with lots of different attorneys, there are attorneys out here who are like, oh, I just kind of ended up in this space, right? I just fell into employment law. It wasn't something I thought about. I just fell into it. And sometimes they like the space that we're in, but I also came across attorneys who were like, oh, I fell into this space. I started practicing this, and they hated it. And I did not want to be the latter. I did not want to be that person who sacrificed so much time and energy going to law school, and I'm practicing and doing something that I hated. You know, we spent a great portion of our day at work, and so that was something that was really important for me, trying to figure out my purpose. And I'm not saying I have it all together. I'm still trying to figure things out, but just at least what is it that makes me happy, that gets me going? And so after some internal reflection, I landed in sports entertainment. Growing up, I used to dance. I played a couple sports on the side growing up. So those were where my true passions were. And so that is really kind of what helped me and kind of really propelled me into exploring the sports and entertainment space.
So let's talk about the Black sports professionals. And my question with that is, how important are organizations early in your career, and what events have you assisted with, and what's coming up next?
Yeah. So the Black sports professionals, I came across them early last year, actually, just kind of looking for organizations. And organizations are very, very important. One thing that I had told myself going into law school is that I was going to be a lot more proactive with networking. I networked a little in undergrad, but I wasn't that student that took full advantage of it because, truth be told, I don't like networking. I really don't. It's just I'm one of those people. When I hear networking, it's like, eek, you know, I don't really like it. However, because I kind of made this internal commitment to myself, like, okay, you're going to go to law school, but more importantly, you're going to make sure that you're going to network and be proactive about it, no matter how much you no matter how you feel about it and how uncomfortable it makes you. And so doing that, I actually took a class in law school. My professor, Earl Caldwell, he was my sports and entertainment professor. And that class, it was a business class, but it was centered around sports and entertainment. And one of the assignments that he had us do was we had to do like these self-reflection, kind of not paper, but just kind of like self-reflection update. We had to do it so often, I think weekly or biweekly. And one of the themes in mine was always networking. That was something I wanted to work on. And so I would say that class really helped propel me into making sure that I network and stay committed to that part of my assignment. And so networking is very important, as everyone says, but more importantly, I found that when you're networking and and when you're volunteering your time and getting involved with organizations, there are just so many opportunities that come from that, from, of course, networking, but more importantly, you start to build bonds with the people that you're sitting on the board with or just members of the organization. There's resources that maybe you didn't know about that maybe someone suggests to you. Like, there's just so many benefits to joining organizations. I know there are a lot out there, so, you know, it's just a matter of kind of finding the organization that just kind of works for you and what your mission, your values are for yourself. So I came across BSP, and at the time, they did not have a chapter out in Phoenix. They're a nationwide organization. They have quite a few chapters, but at the time they didn't have one in Phoenix. So I got looped in to the conversation about trying to help bring a chapter to life in Phoenix. And that's how I got kind of on the board. I currently serve as the secretary for the Phoenix chapter. And I've kind of been with them ever since. And so team, we're small. We just kind of really had our kickoff a couple of months ago, which was great. We had our kickoff event at the Footprint Arena, which is downtown where the Phoenix Suns play. So we had a really great turnout. And one thing that we really noticed is that it's needed here in Phoenix. There, the African-American population is really low here. However, it's been growing. And there's not a lot of Black organizations here. And so, especially one for the sports space, there aren't that many. And so everyone who attended, they just kind of shared how much they were excited to have an organization like BSP having a presence in Phoenix. And so everyone's been very, very excited. We've received a lot of support. So like I said, the kickoff event went very, very well. And actually, we will be having a social coming up for a Super Bowl. And so that's going to be taking place on February 10th, and it's going to be held at the Fiesta Bowl Museum. So that will be our next event. And, you know, we hope to kind of see a lot of people who will be traveling to Phoenix for the Super Bowl there. So we're really looking forward to our next event, especially this one will be a lot larger since we have a lot of guests coming in from out of state and who are actually current members too of BSP, but in other chapters.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, very exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
So what's the event that's taking place on the 6th?
So on the 6th, we are teaming up with Rise and we're having an event with them. And we will, that one I believe is might only be open to BSP members, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I would have to check. But, yeah, we are working on, not working on, we're having an event in conjunction with RISE. It's a leadership event that will be taking place for sports professionals. And I believe that one will be taking place downtown at the Phoenix Convention Center on the 6th.
And it's a brunch, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because somebody else, because that's, you know, when I travel, I try to connect with members. So a young lady said that she was going to that event. And I said, well, if it's just a brunch, is it the same time as this? But then she said something about 7 to 8. And I was like, well, no, that's not a brunch. 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. is not a brunch. And if it's 7 a.m., it's a breakfast.
Oh, you know what? Let me self-correct. We do have a brunch taking place. We have two events. So there's one on the 6th. That one, center, and that one is at night. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Oh,
then we
is.
Have a second event. Yeah, that one is in the afternoon. That is the evening event. Tuesday, we have the brunch will be taking place on Tuesday, which is the 7th. And that will be taken, I think that one starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. So that one is a brunch. So we have two events that we are kind of teaming up with Rise on. So the 6th, which is Monday, and the 7th, which is Tuesday.
Oh, hold on. So you got something Monday night?
Yes. That's the leadership.
Ooh, I might be able to make
on
that.
Monday. Yes, I'll get you the information on that one.
Okay, say, and y'all listening, I told you this was a chat. We're just chatting. You all are just listening in on our chat, okay? But here's the point. If you're going to be in Phoenix, here's the point. There's a football game going on, but there's some networking going on, and this is why. Look, I told my, I was giving my class an assignment, and this will be my fourth one I've attended. And this is where it's at. You know, so I'm excited about it and excited about, I hope the warm weather is going to greet me when I get there because I need some of that.
Listen, I think everyone, you will be coming at a great time because it was chilly. The last couple of weeks have been very chilly. It just started to kind of warm up this week. And so I am hoping that we stay on this trend because it had been a little nippy out. However, right now the weather is kind of perfect. It's been like high 60s, low 70s. It's real and sunny. It's been like perfect weather. So I'm really hoping this kind of keeps the trend going into next week for all the festivities that will be taking place.
Well, we're going to take a short break here in the Chattanooga Garden. And when we return, we'll talk some more about sport organizations and USA skateboarding.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here on the Chattanooga Garden, where Snuggers blooms, and in athletics and sports. You know, I'm multitasking. I was like, yeah. So, question. So tell me about the Phoenix Women's Sports Association.
Sure, absolutely. So the Phoenix Women's Sports Association, I currently sit on the board, and that is a nonprofit that is dedicated to empowering female athletes, and our goal is to raise funds to help promote and empower female athletes. As we know, when it comes to sports, females, athletes, we tend to taper off as we get older, right, for very serious reasons. And also, so with raising funds, our goal is to put those funds back into the community and pay for club fees for girls, equipment, just, you know, different resources so that female athletes in the Phoenix metro area can continue playing sports, and we can kind of help, you know, offset those costs, and so that we can have more female athletes in the space. And that organization was actually found by Nona Lee, who used to be the GC at the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that is Nona's baby, and we are still in existence, and I'm one of the board members, so That is one of the organizations that I sit on, and that's what we do.
And how did you find out about that?
Found out about PWSA when I came to Phoenix. My family has a nonprofit back home in Michigan, and so I come from the nonprofit space. And so moving out to Arizona, I was actually seeking an organization to get involved in, since I was involved with my organization back at home. And so I was really kind of looking for something to kind of fulfill my time and to volunteer and help out
mm-hmm.
with. And I came across, that was one of the organizations that I had come across, and I thought it was really interesting that there was an organization that kind of, you know, catered to female athletes. And it just kind of took me back to the days when I was younger. Like, I used to love playing basketball. I used to go to a lot of the WNBA games when we had, like, the Detroit Shocks. And so I was, like, a huge Deanna Nolan fan. And so there were no organizations like that growing up. So I thought it was really
mm-hmm.
interesting. So that's what kind of piqued my interest. I reached out, and that's how I got affiliated with PWSA.
Well, one of the things that really piqued my interest with you was, I think is interesting, is that you don't just sit and wait. You go seek. And that's just called initiative. And I just love that about how you will just go and do. And because even when you're supposed to meet me, I was in one room and you were in another room, and I didn't even know you were there. But you network, and that's what I think is going to add to your success. So when you told me you were on USA skateboarding, I was like, oh, this girl's a go-getter. So tell me about that.
Yes. So that actually, again, it goes back to networking, but more importantly, as we talked about earlier with nonprofits and getting involved in organizations in general, it goes back to that. So I'm a member of SLA, which is a Sports Lawyers Association, and I actually it was suggested that I join by Nona Lee, actually. So I had joined, and at the time, everything was still remote, and SLA had, like, a regional webinar that I attended, and it was an opportunity. There were other students, law students, just undergrad students who had attended, and it was really nice because there were professionals who are currently working in the sports space, and they're just like, hey, ask us questions. You know, they really kind of catered the moment to the students, which I thought was really interesting because it was just like a casual conversation, you know, but it was on Zoom. And, you know, I asked some questions and met a couple of connections on that call. And then shortly thereafter, they had, like, a resume workshop where they're like, hey, submit your resume to get feedback. And I did that. And after I did that, one of the attorneys, she reached out to me, who I had met prior at the little webinar, chat that we had. And she's like, hey, you know, I know that you're interested in getting into sports. You know, how would you be interested in learning more about USA skateboarding and possibly getting involved? And I was like, you know, I never thought about the Olympic space. And I was like, okay, this sounds pretty cool. You know, it'll give me opportunity to kind of get more experience and kind of get my foot into the sports world a little bit more. And I was like, sure. So I, you know, went through the process, ended up being elected onto the ethics committee, which I'm still currently on. And that's actually how I got involved. So again, you know, all this goes back to, one, getting involved with organizations, but more importantly, putting yourself out there in networks, because you never know who's watching. You know, it wasn't like her and I just had a conversation. I said, hey, I want to be in the Olympic space, and I see that, you know, you work here. It was none of that, you know. It was more so someone kind of looking at me and knowing that I had an interest in sports, and she just kind of reached out and asked me would I be interested, and I was like, okay, yeah, sure. What does the process look like? How can I get involved? So that, yeah, you definitely want to get out there and network and get involved with organizations, because you never know what can come from your relationships and your network, you know? You never know who's watching.
That's because as you were talking, I was just thinking about, yeah, I got to figure out how to get to that event Monday night, because I'm staying, I have no distance understanding about Phoenix, about where things are. But what's the city that starts with a, well, most of the, it's like a resort area near Phoenix?
Well, I know there's a lot of resorts in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's it. So how far is Scottsdale from these events taking place Monday night?
Yeah, so...
Downtown Phoenix.
Right. So the one on Monday will be taking place at the Phoenix Convention Center. And so Scottsdale, I mean, it really just depends on where you are. I mean, you know, are you in North Scottsdale? Or are you kind of in, you know, southern area of Scottsdale? So, but it could be, I mean, your ride could be, you know, probably I would say give or take maybe about 25 minutes, I would say, depending
on
where you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know,
well,
with all the traffic going on, it may be a little longer to... You know, the Super Bowl is going on. Then we also have that Waste Management Open. So traffic is going to be crazy.
So I might have to stay put in Scottsdale. But I sat on a couple of NCAA committees. And I will say I've been to Phoenix, Scottsdale area twice. And can you believe this? Well, it makes sense because it's the NCAA. But I ended up going to the same resort twice.
Really?
Because it
was
two different committees. Look, actually, they changed the name of it, but it was the exact same resort, exact same. And, I was like, I was the same way. I was like, wow. So I haven't explored Scottsdale, but the area I was in was beautiful. And I don't know if you realize, but I'm really a nerd. So when I was there, I went to some museum that was, but it was like an outdoor museum, like the Desert Museum. And then another night,
the Botanical
I went
Garden?
Somewhere, probably so, but it was out there, and I had a rental car. And then I went to, another time we were in Phoenix, I went to the Indian Native American Museum. That was just fabulous. Hopefully people go to Super Bowl. You're listening to me. These are places you need to go check out. And then, whatever it is that you go to, I think a corral or something, it was at nighttime. Child, I rode a camel, okay?
Really?
Yes. I have a picture of myself on a camel. Yes, I do. Scared to death.
I've been here since 2012, and I'm like, I didn't even know they had camel rides here.
Yeah, it was part of like a, you go to a corral and you go and you eat, and they had, you know, and it was like a vendor kind of thing, you go down there doing dust, and then, you know, by the time you leave, it's nighttime, because it got cool, and you know, a camel is taller than a horse, okay? I just want to let everybody know, okay? It's taller than a horse. I was like, okay. So I didn't, there was a guy, I said, okay, look, just take like 3 or 4 steps and take a picture and then let me off, okay? I was like, a favorite too low. But
that
here's
is
another
great
thing that's interesting. Yeah, so I'm going to go back to USA Skating. So, is it an Olympic sport?
It is. So USA Skateboarding is a USOPC recognized national governing body for skateboarding in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So they do?
Totally.
They're in the mm-hmm. Summer Olympics?
Yes.
Wow.
And so they are currently, you know, because they were recently, they recently became an Olympic sport. So it's very, very new to the Olympic space. However, everyone is really excited for just the growth and to see how skateboarding
mm-hmm.
is going to morph and change and, you know, just kind of find its place in the Olympic space. There's some changes going on, but I think everyone is very, very excited for what's on the horizon, what's happening, and what's kind of going on with USA Skateboarding.
Well, I can't say enough how much of a nerd I am. So last night, I was listening to my audiobook, which is called Women in Sports, 50 Fearless Athletes Who Play to Win. And so it's like little short snippets, right? Guess who I heard about?
Who?
I don't know which one. I didn't write it down. I didn't, but it caught my ear. A skateboarder, a woman skateboarder, professional skateboarder.
Yeah, believe it or not, like I people always ask me when they find out that I sit on the ethics committee for your skateboarding. They always ask, "Do you skateboard?" And I don't skateboard. I don't.
Right.
But growing up, I was a fan of Tony Hawk growing up. So I always thought the sport was very fascinating. Like just the tricks that they do, I've always just been
mm-hmm.
fascinated with the sport. And so there are quite a few female skateboarders that, you know, I didn't really realize until I kind of got into the space and, you know, since I'm
mm-hmm.
affiliated with USA Skateboarding now. But, yeah, there are some pretty dope female skateboarders out there.
Well, see, I'm looking at my list, and I just have their names, but I don't know which one was I listen to it when I'm in the bed getting ready to sleep, so I don't have ink pen, you know, beside me. But I'm going to take a guess. No, I'm not going to guess if it was her. But it was just quite interesting because what I heard was whoever it was, in their latter life, they went ahead and snowboarding. Whoever it was, yeah. So it was just so impressive about a person who's doing something so odd that it made it into this book. Because again, if you got 50 women, you know you can attack that, but just with a couple of prominent sports. So the person that it mentioned had to be like top notch in there.
Mhm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it takes me back to when we added bowling to the conference of the CAA. It was already in the MEAC, and I was
mm-hmm.
assigned as an administrator to oversee the conference championship. Girl, you talking about somebody lost? I was like, what? But you know, from that experience, I said, this is because we have sanctioned this as a collegiate sport, we are giving other young girls opportunities to be student athletes, and this is exciting. And because mm-hmm. of my evolution and mindset, I will correct somebody in a heartbeat about how they try to be trivial about saying, oh, bowling, oh, that's a sport, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I break it down. I did that to someone speaking once, and she went ahead and did her dissertation on it.
Really?
You know, on the sport of, yeah, yeah. I enlightened her to say, just like I just said, you know, we may think it's trivial, but you think about how many young girls would not have been experienced the beauty of being a student athlete. Yes, they might have played recreation and, you know, been up there with the music and the lights on a Saturday night, but to know that what you've done recreationally, if you expose them to it, because the girls that I were around, girl, they lift weights at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, because that gave them stamina when everybody else was fizzing out. You know, when I first started seeing it, you know, they did take young girls and just basically had an inkling about bowling. And so, you know, in between bowls, they said it would be eating and whatnot. But as they began to up the scholarships, they became serious about it. I mean, you know, they had their own bowling balls. It was just beautiful. And the camaraderie in that sport. Girl, mm-hmm. I used to love it because it was always in March, the championship.
Yeah.
No, it was always in March, you know, from the conference standpoint. And just, I mean, families traveled to support. I had to go rent out.
That's amazing.
It is. They had to go rent out bleachers. So portable bleachers for the bowling alley. So talking about skateboarding, I welcome the education of sports I'm not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, like
how
you said, that's a very beautiful thing. Very beautiful.
So have you been to a competition as a board member to this?
Not yet. I have not. However, I look forward. I know everyone is in the Olympic space are preparing for the next Olympics. So I look forward, but I have not attended any or participated in a competition yet. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, sure. So you know you got to tell me about it when you come back. We do have some members that work in that space. We have Dr. Angel Burtis, who is in the mental health space for the United States Olympic Committee. Hopefully she'll come to the luncheon because she and I were at the luncheon last year in L.A. For the Power Sports Brunch piece. But, so you got... My point is you got some folks in the Olympic space inside the garden that you all can all grow together.
Awesome. That's good to know. I'm definitely going to have to reach out. I just connected actually one of our BSP leadership. She's on the board too. Her name is Whitney. She's in the Olympic space, and she also is a Olympian herself. So that's pretty cool. She just actually started working with the USOPC.
Well, our time is up, sweetheart. It's been a joy, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you in the garden today.
Absolutely. And I want to thank Jonna Harrison of Aretha Fine Solutions for being my eyes and ears as the engineer for our show. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and guests, podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.
Hi, I'm Dr. Janice Hilliard, President and CEO of Hilliard Solutions. Are you interested in entering and advancing in the field of athlete development? Then the 5th Annual Women in Athlete Development Symposium and Networking Event on April 12 through 13 is for you. Since 2019, over 45% of attendees are enjoying their dream job in athlete development. Go to HilliardSolutions.com/symposium today for more information. Looking forward to seeing you online.